simply the most successful and influential choreographer alive, according to the New York Times. Marc Morris has a limitless capacity to touch every emotion. His dances, repeatedly described as masterpieces, reflect his insightful musicality and an extraordinary grasp of human feeling, from the trifling to the profound. The opportunity to witness this truly profound dance company is presented to you by Williams Center for the Arts, Lafayette College. The adventure begins on Wednesday, September the 16th at 8 p.m. Yes, you're right, this Wednesday. Not only the Lehigh Valley, but Lafayette College Williams Center for Performing Arts Series is rich in offerings and aspirations, and is a place where the arts and the artist flourish. There's a direct quote from Director of Performance Series at Williams Center, Hollis Ashby, and from me. This is WDIY 88.1 Allentown, and you are now a part of our family at Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we ask you to join us in welcoming Hollis Ashby, who will highlight the many of the arts offerings of the 2015-2016 season at the center. Hi, Hollis.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Boy, the music that brought us in here was really exciting. Can you tell us a little about it?
That's the wonderful Danu from historic County Waterford in Ireland, and they'll be here in Easton in March, just shortly before St. Patrick's Day, to shake off the winter chill. They're a very exciting group. I want to say they're traditionalists, but they're not. They write new music, and they adapt the music of their peers. Their wonderful, wonderful vocalist is Mairéad Nic Eolaí, and she has a beautiful, buttery voice. She sings in both English and Irish.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, great. It's a wonderful opportunity to hear them live. They're exquisite. And we may hear a little bit more from them later on in the show.
Maybe, yeah.
Lucky. If we have time.
And so we began talking about Marc Morris Dance Company, which will be kicking off the season. We're listening to Danu. Just for the listener to know, we were laughing before we came on the air. It's almost too much to cram into 25 minutes what Hollis has lined up for the new season there at the Williams Center. And it breaks down into, there's actually chamber music, there's jazz, there's world stage, there's dance, there's new theater and family series. So I don't even know, where would we begin?
Well, I think I'd just like to wrap up George's great introduction to Marc Morris by saying that his work are as much music events as they are dance events, because he insists on live music to be performed with his dances always. This particular program will hear music by Felix Mendelssohn, and one of the really great pieces of 20th century music, and Marc's dance set to this piece of music is considered one of his masterpieces. This is Grand Duo, which is set to Lou Harrison's Grand Duo for violin and piano. Okay. And the musicians for that will be Colin Fowler and Georgi Valchev. Now, the piece in between, A Wooden Tree, is a little different. It is set to music and poetry of Ivor Cutler, who is a great, now-deceased Scottish actor and poet and personality. And he has done a couple of recordings that are very whimsical and amusing, but I know in Mark's hands will be there'll be quite a bit of pathos in that as well.
So a great variety in the musicality of the emotion that will come into the dance, as well as listening to the music.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, the next dance group we have on this fall, Sean Curran and Company, also will have live music with their performance. A couple of years ago, the company traveled to the Republic of Kyrgyz as ambassadors of the U.S. State Department, where they encountered this traditional Kyrgyz ensemble. And together, they have created a new work. And Sean Curran is bringing that ensemble to the United States to perform with them in this premiere. And this is music that's very rarely heard in the West. So we're very lucky to have them.
So it's a wonderful night of music as well as dance again, but really unusual.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Huh. And it seems like the whole, if I look over the series, the whole year has this wonderful mix of international flavors, of cultures, of new faces to me or new voices. It's just really lush mix.
And I think that's really a credit to how audiences have evolved. Mm. I don't have any trepidation about bringing an ensemble or a dance piece from on the other side of the world, because we're eager to have access to that now, and we want to see something new.
It did strike me, and I would suggest to the audience, if you go to the Williams Center website, look this up online. In the world we live in today, part of how I was sampling what's to come is through YouTube, and some beautiful performance, some beautiful visuals, some things I had not encountered, some of the puppet work that will be heading our way with the series. All of it was just fabulous.
Actually, YouTube is, you know, one of our great advocates for the work on stage, because once you see something, you're more inclined to want to engage with it.
And I know that we just picked up Icon magazine on the way in, too. Yes. George and I, of course, have a particular passion for theater. And you'll open the theater element of the season with a kind of remarkable combination of talents from Pinter, Julian Sands, and if I'm correct, directed by John Malkovich?
That's right.
That's amazing.
That's right. It's really a beautiful piece. In 2005, when Pinter was suffering from esophageal cancer, he loved to do poetry readings. And we know of Pinter much more for his playwriting than we do as a poet. But that's what he thought of himself as. Mm. He called himself a poet who writes plays. Mm. And he, of course, won the Nobel Prize for his collective work, but he loved to give these readings, and he could not do one for a charity event and asked Julian Sands to do this reading for him. So Sands worked very, very closely with him, and really down to the last beat and breath of Pinter's interpretation. Mm-hmm. And he did it as a one-off, but then when Pinter died a few years later, Julian was in Los Angeles and brought together a number of friends to eulogize Pinter, one of whom was John Malkovich, who said, "Julian, let's make a night of this." And so John directed the show, and it premiered at the Edinburgh Festival in 2011. Okay. So it's a celebration of the work of Harold Pinter. It's not just one play or just the poetry. He also reads some of his personal writings and reminiscences.
I read a lovely story that said that Antonia Fraser, his widow, the historian, when Sands was working on it, asked her for advice, and she said, "I think you need to go visit his grave." And that he went to Pinter's grave, and he said, I did the piece for him. You know, I kind of shared it. He said, it might just be me, but I felt I was given permission. It was all good.
Well, we know that the Williams Center for the Arts is the acclaimed presenting series. It was actually founded in 1983 at Lafayette College, and it's regarded really as one of the leading performing arts centers in the region. And your season is just superb, Hollis. It really is. I wish we could get to every single thing that's coming. It's coming up in the next.
If one hasn't been to this theater yet, you really must, because it is a jewel box of 400 seats, and you can't get any more intimate to the art on stage than a space like that. There isn't a bad seat in the house, and it's acoustically wonderful. So it's perfect for chamber music and theater and dance and just about everything.
And it's interesting, I maybe should have hopped ahead to theater, but I couldn't help myself. If we go back, just looking at the dance one more time, too, Body Traffic is another company I was not familiar with, but sounds fascinating.
And they're a little different because they don't have a single choreographic vision.
Okay.
They seek out new choreographers who are up and coming, and they ask them to set work on these dancers, which makes it a very different kind of dance company. They have to be very, very flexible to be able to interpret a number of different choreographers, you know, at once.
And it's interesting with the elements so much of the music, though, with the dancers, because the music selections are also just really fascinatingly diverse. We will hear some selections. I shouldn't jump ahead to some of the folks we'll hear.
Well, maybe we can. I can talk a little bit about Cecile McLaurin-Salvant,
please,
surely.
Who is on our jazz series. And she won the Thelonious Monk competition, vocal competition, in 2010 when she was 20 years old.
Oh.
She's only 26 now, and she has an amazing range and style. I had a great deal of trouble trying to select a piece of music because everything of hers is really... It's like going on a magic carpet ride. You've heard the cliche that a singer can take a great American standard and make it their own. Well, that certainly is true of her. But just at when you think you've got her figured out and you know where she's going, she switches direction and takes you on another ride somewhere else.
Oh.
So one of the things she likes to do, she's actually both American. She has dual American and French citizenship, so she sometimes sings French songs. She does the whole range of pop and jazz in the United States. Although she's classically trained, she likes to seek out music that hasn't been heard for a while.
Hmm.
And one of the pieces that on her very new CD that just came out, For One to Love, is a piece that Blanche Holloway sang. And Blanche Holloway was the older sister of Calloway. Blanche Calloway is the older sister of Cab Calloway.
Okay.
And she had a very earthy style. But this piece that you're going to hear, Growlin' Dan, is now a piece that Cecile has taken on her own.
So this is Cecile McLaurin Salvant. Enjoy. That was, of course, Cecile McLaurin Salvant. And the name of the piece was Growlin' Dan.
And you should hear what she does with a standard like Wives and Lovers, the old Hal David, Burt Bacharach piece that Dionne Warwick made popular. It's completely different in Cecile's hands.
It's gorgeous. I know that I just started to listen to her, and one song is just a journey. I mean, it really is. It's just amazing. You're right. Every time you think you have even the song figured, it just goes off in a different direction. It's gorgeous.
We are, of course, chatting with the director of performance series at Williams Center for the Arts, Hollis Ashby, and she's going to tell us much more about the 2015 and 2016 season. So you want to stay right with us. There's many things that you have to realize that is going on, and of course it's not only jazz, it's world stage and chamber music and dance theater. Oh, there's just about everything, including family matinees. So we'll learn more about those when we come back after this salient message.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Dans le vieux parc solitaire et glacé, de femmes ont toutes à l'heure passé.
Ah, yes, there's a great piece. It really is. And Hollis, it's Colloque Sentimental, is that right?
That's right.
Yes.
And that was performed by the great French countertenor, Philippe Jaroussky. He is an amazing force, a very fine vocal technique that not many individuals can master. This program that he will do for us on May 8th, 2016, which happens to be Mother's Day, so bring your mother and show her what good taste you have, is a little different than what one normally hears from a countertenor. We, you know, often countertenor literature is relegated to Monteverdi and Handel and Baroque opera. But what Jaroussky has chosen to do is to take the whole canon of French melody or art songs and have many of them transcribed for his voice. He will be performing a whole program of music set to the poetry of Paul Verlaine. And the music is all composed by the likes of Hahn, Fauré, Debussy, Saint-Saëns, but also and Ronaldo Hahn, but also some lesser known composers, Poledowski and Bordas. He is really has an amazing way with a phrase. Verlaine's poetry was, much of it was very passionate. Much of it could be sad, but it also could be full of the joy of life and his enthusiasm for nature. He's probably the poet the French poet who is the most set to music in that particular culture, though we don't realize it, but we recognize the poetry and we recognize the songs.
Right. And we were speaking a little earlier of poetry and Pinter and writing that encompasses all of life and experiences, which brings us back again to the theater, because after we spend that evening with the work of Harold Pinter, with something I find particularly exciting is that Filter Theater and the Royal Shakespeare Company. Now, Filter is a British company, a young, hot, kind of shaking up the world of Shakespearean theater. Now, they don't just do Shakespeare, but predominantly that's what they're known for. And they'll be here with Twelfth Night.
They'll be here with Twelfth Night in this year that we celebrate the quadricentennial of Shakespeare's death. And by a stroke of serendipity, the performance here at the Williams Center will be February 2nd, which was the first recorded performance of Twelfth Night, February 2nd, 1602.
Really?
That's right. So it'll be a bit of an anniversary for Twelfth Night. What Filter Theater has done with an ingenious use of music and a soundscape that they use to illuminate the text, they freely edit the text and bring it down to its essence, as the name Filter implies. So what is at the heart of Twelfth Night? Well, music, food, love. And that's what we'll get.
It's about a 90-minute performance, right?
It's about a 90-minute performance. So,
yeah. The reviews and things that are the pictures, the images that I've seen, are just look rambunctious, joyous, wonderful, colorful.
You know, it's amazing how adaptable Shakespeare's work is. It endures. It will, you know, 400 years from now, someone else will be sitting in our seats talking about another production that has made them see Shakespeare in a whole new light.
It's interesting because then we travel, and again, we're talking about traveling around the world here. Sancho, An Act of Remembrance, is another theater offering that I had no awareness of. And we're going to travel to Africa for this story, in a sense.
Well, it starts in Africa, that's for sure. Charles Ignatius Sancho was born on a slave ship in 1729, and he was brought to England, and he worked for two elderly sisters for a number of years, and then the second Duke of Montague encouraged his education. And the reason we know about him is that he is in a portrait by Thomas Gainsborough. In fact, I think he's the only Black Briton in the portraiture of Gainsborough's. I may be mistaken about that. That particular portrait is in Canada's National Art Gallery. And the reason this play is coming here is because the actor Patterson Joseph, who is a Black Briton himself, wanted to investigate his own story about slavery and abolition in England, which is not the same story that his American counterparts share. So he's done a great deal of research into the life of Charles Ignatius Sancho, and it is more or less an overview of this individual's life told from mm-hmm. his perspective on the day that Gainsborough paints his famous painting.
Oh, lovely. Mm. And this will be traveling on to BAM, to the Brooklyn Academy of Music from Lafayette.
Right. There'll be a limited performances in the United States, Washington, D.C.,
okay.
Lafayette, Brooklyn Academy of Music, and I think a few other stops along the way.
That's very exciting.
It's premiering in England this fall, so
wow.
We'll see what the notices say.
The series, of course, is comprised of 22 events, 24 performances across 6 series. We mentioned them before: chamber music, jazz, world stage, dance, theater, and family matinees. And of course, you were hearing just some of the things that are going on in these events, and you can really find out specifically on what date what particular group is playing, I believe, by simply going on the website. It's williamscenter.lafayette.edu. And when you get into Williams Center for the Arts, you can see all of the programming and all of the updates on the musicians and the particular artists who are performing or presenting.
And we were talking about the family series. I know that I think, Hollis, you were sharing with us that it's a particular area of interest of yours to kind of grow or create that awareness in the community, that the Williams Center is also a go-to place for affordable quality family programming.
Well, in fact, a number of our performances happen on Saturdays and Sundays in the afternoon, so you could bring your family to hear the great taiko artist Kenny Endo on a Sunday afternoon, or the Prism Saxophone Quartet, which will perform later this month.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also scheduled 2 performances as a way to introduce children to the theater that will be as interesting to the adults as they will be to young people. This year we happen to focus on the art of puppetry and open with the Cachorro Marionettes in November 21st, in fact.
Right.
There'll be both a matinee and an evening performance. Joseph Cachorro is an extraordinary artist who has lived and worked in Pennsylvania all of his life, but I've never seen such intricately engineered puppetry as I've seen from Joseph Cachorro's work. And his work will be performed to the music of Beethoven, Vivaldi, Strauss, and Copland, a series of everyday life. And then later in the year, in February, artist Robin Frohart's The Pigeoning, which won the 2014 Arlen Award for Outstanding Design in Puppet Theater, will be coming to the Williams Center. This is sort of an urban morality play about an office worker named Frank who thinks the pigeons are out to get him, but really they're trying to share something with him. And again, both afternoon and evening performance on February 21st, I think, or 20th.
Well, what fabulous events are happening in the 2015-2016 series. And we are just very excited about the whole thing, and we hope that our listening audience will get to at least, out of those 22, at least 20 of the performances. Or,
I hope you'll events. Be there, Joy.
Yes, we will. We are going to leave you before we go into hear from Paul Willstein, is another selection. And this one, Hollis, is another Danu.
Danu and the great vocalist Murren Nichaoli. This is Lord Gregory. It's a classic, but it's very beautiful in her hands. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Me.
I am a king's daughter that strayed from Capoquin in search of Lord Gregory. May God, I'll find him. The rain beats at my yellow locks and the dew wets me still. My baby's cold in my arms. Oh, Lord Gregory, let me in. Lord Gregory's not here and henceforth can't be seen. He is gone to bonny Scotland to bring home his new queen. Leave now those windows, and likewise this hall, for it's deep in the sea you should hide your downfall.